The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Time now for Dr. Health Radio, radio's original health news magazine, bringing you the latest information on medicine, nutrition, fitness, and wellness, now in its 27th year. Your host of Dr. Health Radio is health expert David Snow, who is not a doctor, and while most of David's guests are doctors or authorities in their areas of expertise, they do not diagnose or prescribe on the air. If you have a condition or illness that requires medical attention, see a health professional. The information contained in this program is for educational and entertainment purposes only. And now, your host of Dr. Health Radio, the Snowman himself, David Snow.
Here's a cartoon. The woman and the man are sitting on the beach towel on the sand at the beach. And she says, "Do you want me to wake you when you're slightly toasted, medium toasted, or well done?" Oh, boy. That says it all, doesn't it? You know, did you know that, by the way, speaking of getting a tan or getting roasted or toasted, even whales can get tan lines. Isn't that interesting? And that reminds me of advantages of being a dermatologist, and I won't say who this was. It was a local dermatologist that told me this. He said, if it's dry, wet it. If it's wet, dry it. If you don't know what it is, don't touch it. If you know what it is, you know you don't have to touch it. And at the end of the appointment, just prescribe steroids and everything will be under control. Your patients will never die. They'll never get better. So you get repeat business. There are also no emergencies, so you don't have to get up in the middle of the night like other medical specialists. Welcome to a show where we specialize in your health. It's a general specialty of ours, I might add. And as your board-certified toxicologist, I guarantee not to leave you bored with the stimulating information we have for you each and every week at this time here on the program. And we welcome you once again to the healthiest 2 hours on radio, hour number two of the big show. And I am David Snow, your happy, humble health stylist host, here to keep you cool and healthy. In this hour of the program, we're covering the book Dress to Kill, The Link Between Breast Cancer and Bras. Sydney Ross Singer and Soma Grismeyer join us in just a few minutes talking about the connection between the two, or the link between breast cancer and bras. And before you turn the station or think that this is just a sensational show, this is compelling and convincing information. It's breakthrough information and evidence from around the world, not just here in America, that there is definitely a connection between the wearing of bras by women and breast cancer, a higher incidence of breast cancer, having to do with the lymphatic system and circulation. And, well, there's causation, correlation. We'll talk all about that. And what is the American Cancer Society's position on this? I'll ask them that. And if large breasts make you any more prone to breast cancer than small ones, a lot more. We'll have, of course, none of this information is, I mean, it's not a Howard Stern show, so we're talking about sexual health in relation to health, not in any sensational terms. So just be aware of that, but be aware of the content of the information this hour as well. All right. And next week's show, excuse me, let's see, 2 weeks from today, next week we'll have Dr. Kevin Gibson, our resident guest host. Since I'll be away from the, let's see, wait, I get confused here. Today, yes, it is the week that I think it is. And so he'll be with us next week talking about liver and kidney health and disease and obesity and some of the things that you can do to keep yourself healthy no matter what your lifestyle, but especially if you don't eat there and drink and engage in the healthiest of lifestyles. All right. Mercury on the menu on the show in 2 weeks from today. Just mark your calendars now. and that is Unsafe at Any Meal. That's the book we're going to be talking about. A former FDA investigator, Dr. Renee Joy Dufaux, joins us with what the FDA does not want you to know about the foods you eat, specifically on heavy metals, the toxic mercury residue that is in food and mainly in processed foods, not so much, well, it is in fish, of course, the methyl mercury, but there's, even if it's inorganic mercury, that can be problematic in having too much, ingesting too much mercury. And some of the hidden foods and ingredients that that mercury is contained in, it's that's going to surprise you. That's a very eye-opening book. All right, let's see. Since this is pool season, swimming pool season, you want to make sure that be aware of those community or hotel pools because they often fall short of maintenance. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention report pool inspections in several counties across the United States. Surveyed them and monitored them, and over half of them, more than half, 54%, had one or more violations, everything from inadequate chlorine levels to, well, I won't get into some of the more undesirable things, but you always want to avoid getting water in your mouth if you swim in a pool. Also shower before swimming, and as well as washing your hands after using the toilet, or washing your children, also your child, with soap and water before swimming. And I might add, wetting your hair, whether you go in the ocean or the, mainly in pools. The reason you want to wet your hair or take a shower before you go in the pool, you know, you think, oh, I'm going to get wet anyway. What should I shower before I go in the pool for? Well, number one, you want to wash off whatever impurities you have on your skin for the other patrons of the pool. But also, one thing people forget about is if you hydrate your hair with water before entering the chlorinated pool, you're going to absorb, your hair is going to absorb a lot less chlorine because it'll already be saturated with water. So it's going to absorb a minimal amount of chlorine. I learned that the hard way when I was a kid. All right. Hey, if you're wanting to, or if you are interested in consuming some of those new cannabinoid products you see, you know, the CBDs and the cannabinoid products in natural food stores and other outlets, you should know about Emerald Health Products. They have a phytocannabinoid line of products, and they have all the benefits, including some added advantages, one being cost, a lot less costly, and two being controversy, a lot less controversial because there's no cannabis in it, even though they have phytocannabinoids from other plants besides cannabis that contain these same substances that are going to give you a benefit, a health effect, and advantage, but without the cannabinoids. I mean, without the cannabis. So you can find those for our Bay Area listeners. Elliott's in Sacramento, the Elliott's Natural Foods, they have the Emerald Health Products endocannabinoid line, as well as Community Market in Sebastopol and Santa Rosa. So just a shout out to those stores that do carry those. Okay, let's go to the fitness file. And our fitness tip of the week: elevate and escalate your level of fitness by not taking the elevator or escalator. That's our snowism of the week. Again, elevate or escalate your level of fitness by not taking the elevator or escalator. Hey, dancing is a key to aging well as good exercise. Frontiers in Neuroscience is the publication this is out of. When people were assigned to learn a dance routine each week or complete endurance or flexibility training, only dancers had a significant improvement in their balance, which is a key factor in maintaining mobility, as well as preventing falls as we age. Now, there was a 21% increase in the volume of the hippocampus. That's the brain region the area of the brain linked to memory. And the authors say that dancers and dancing challenges your center of gravity, plus exercises the body and mind, all of which preserve your balance and boost longevity. So there you go. And, you know, you've always heard that you should only exercise every other day if you're building muscle or weight training or you're doing resistance exercise or activity, right? But this latest report from the Journal of Sports Medicine and Physical Fitness shows that, recovery can wait. Researchers compared athletic men who did total body resistance work 3 out of the 5 days. Let's see. What? I'm out of time. Oh, we didn't even get to sexual health and the Funny Bone Pharmacy. You got to be kidding me. Okay, promise next week we'll do a double edition of those. All right. We'll have more information for your good health here on Dr. Health. Dress to Kill is the name of the book. The link between breast cancer and bras. Sydney Ross Singer and Soma Grismeyer join us momentarily here on the Healthiest Hour on Healthiest 2 hours on radio. This is hour number two of the Dr. Health Radio Show.
Pool, surrounded by friends and relatives. That's because Dad thinks Mom is watching me, and Mom thinks Dad is. But actually, nobody is watching me. And you rarely make a sound when you're struggling alone.
Don't assume someone else is watching. Become a water watchdog at abbyshope.org.
By now, you've heard about the popularity of products containing cannabis-based CBD because of the many benefits people are experiencing by taking them. What you may not know, though, is that there are other plants besides cannabis that contain these same cannabinoids. Emerald Health Bioceuticals, the global leader in the research and development of plant-based phytocannabinoids, offers you five dual-acting formulas for the results you expect. Choose from Bliss, Brain, Calm, Inflame, and Sleep. And no matter which doctor-formulated product you choose, you can feel confident that every one of Emerald's safe and effective science-based nutritional supplements are the best value for the price. So if you're someone who's looking for more vibrant health and energy, stop by your favorite health store today to check out the next big thing, the hot products from Emerald Health Bioceuticals, or check them out at emeraldhealthbio.com. Emerald Health Bioceuticals, the endocannabinoid company.
This is Anthony Hopkins with an important message about cancer prevention and treatment. Did you know that the right foods can help prevent this frightening disease? New studies show that fruits, vegetables, whole grains, and other high-fiber vegetarian foods reduce the risk of certain cancers, and they may even improve survival. Visit cancerproject.org or call 866-906-WELL. Brought to you by The Cancer Project, a non-profit organization advancing cancer prevention and survival.
Copycats! They're out there. Be strong and healthy. Tune in to the big dog. Dr. Health Radio, radio's original health news magazine.
Welcome back to Lifestyles of the Fit and Healthy here on The Cure for the Common radio show. Dr. Health's the name, wellness is the game, and here on Dr. Health Radio, ER stands for Educational Radio, where we specialize in preventive medicine to help you, to keep you out of the emergency room. And here to help us do that, two guests, medical anthropologists, and they are the authors of a new, well, it's a second edition of a book that came out originally in the 90s, Dress to Kill, The Link Between Breast Cancer and Bras. Sydney Ross Singer and Soma Grismeyer are my guests, and we welcome them to the Dr. Health Radio microphones this morning. Good morning to both of you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you for being there. And now, this is, you know, a lot of people out there in radio land think they're joking, right? This is not a real serious medical show, but it couldn't be any more serious. Now, current estimates, and this is cited not only from your book, but other media sources expert sources I've seen, as up to 90% of all women in the U.S. will experience at least some kind of breast cancer scare, whether it's a lump or, you know, fortunately, it's not usually going to be cancerous, but some issue with their breasts during their lifetime. And, you know, this is kind of the last thing on the radar that anybody would think, you know, the average person would think, or even the average researcher or doctor would think would be connected to breast cancer. So tell us how this came about and how you did this research to make the connection. And it's quite a compelling argument, I might add.
Well, you know, it's funny that you'd say the way you said it, that it's the last thing you'd think of. Actually, it really should be the first thing you think of. I should explain that as a medical anthropologist, what we do is try to understand how the culture leads to illness, how our cultural practices, attitudes, and behaviors cause us to be sick. And, you know, throughout history, we know of many cultural practices that are harmful, but people do it because that's the way things are done. And that's the way it is with the bra. But when you think about it, if you had some problem with your feet, the first thing you would probably, you should be thinking about is, could it be my shoes? You know, if you're having congestion problems, you might think, well, maybe this could, you know, lung congestion, you might think maybe this is because I smoke. You know, what am I doing to my lungs? What am I doing to my feet? Well, when it comes to the breasts, women are constricting their breasts with bras. And when you think, okay, what are they in these cultures where bras are the fashion? It just so happens there are higher rates of breast cancer. And in bra-free cultures, the rate is very low. And interestingly, back in the 1930s, the link between breast cancer and bras was recognized. In fact, Dr. Mayo, who started the Mayo Clinic, he wrote in the Annals of Surgery in 1931 that breast cancer is rare in cultures where women don't constrict their breasts with garments. And there was a patent in 1950 for a bra that said that their new bra was meant to be better for the breasts because, as it explained, bras are known to cause breast cancer.
You're kidding. Back in 1950. Wow.
Yes, yes. I didn't even know about that when we first did Dress to Kill after we did our own research. You know, back in the early 90s, you didn't have easy access to all these journals with keywords. That's why we did an update now with all these things that people knew and forgot about. And new research that's come out since our study, which was the first, we did the first international study on, not international, the first study anywhere on the link between breast cancer and wearing bras. And the way we got into that was, we had a personal experience where I guess Soma could tell you that experience that we had that it propelled us into the breast cancer field because, you know, we never thought we would be breast cancer researchers. And I'll hand it over to Soma.
Soma, tell us your firsthand experience with this. Yeah.
Right. Well, we were in Fiji actually doing research on a totally different thing. And I was doing laundry and hanging a couple of bras out on the line to dry when a young Fijian woman came over to me. This was on a remote island where they've really never seen bras before. She said, well, what is that and why do you wear it?
Really?
And, you know, it was sort of hard to explain to someone who had never seen a bra before what they were and why I wore them. And then she pulled on it and said, well, isn't it tight? And I had to say, well, I guess so, but you get used to it. And then about a week later, I discovered a large lump in my breast as I was showering, a very scary experience, and a lot of women have experienced the same thing. And it sent us into a lot of turmoil, obviously. We rushed back to the States, and I was pregnant at the time, didn't want to go through any radiation or any strange treatments that I wasn't comfortable with. So we started looking into it ourselves. And as soon as we got home from our trip, I took off my bra to take a shower, and we look at my breast, and there were these dark red lines and marks around my breast that obviously were signs of constriction, but obviously from the bra. And, you know, I'd seen this for years. This was after wearing a bra for 30 years every day of my life. And now suddenly it had different meaning. And we started thinking, wow, constriction, that's a possible problem. And Sid remembered back in pre-vet school when he was taking some courses that's how you castrate a bull is by tying off its testicles with a tight band, and that cuts off the circulation and it deteriorates and falls off, you know. Well, that sort of gave us some hints into maybe, wow, let's look at this. So we did a large study on over 5,000 women throughout the United States and discovered that the longer and tighter a woman wears a bra, the higher are her rates of breast cancer. And it was extremely significant numbers.
Yeah, there was a direct correlation. I mean, I just want to make that clear.
Absolutely, okay. A direct correlation. And that's when we came out with our first book. We tried to get it published. I'll give it back to Sid and let him describe what happened after that.
Go ahead, Sid.
Yeah, well, what I wanted to explain that this, you made a good statement about cause, there's, you could see a causation going on here. And a lot of people wonder about the difference in causation and correlation. And to have a causation here, you have to show a mechanism. It's not just statistical connection between these two things. There's actually a mechanism here which shows it's causal. And what that mechanism is that when you wear something tight, the first thing it does is constrict your lymphatic system. And the lymphatic system is an often overlooked part of the human body. And in medical school, we had very little on the lymphatics when I studied it back in the late 80s. And, you know, they hardly even talked about it. I hope they do more now. But the lymphatic system is the circulatory pathway of your immune system. It's how your body keeps healthy and keeps flushing fluid through all of your tissues. And it cleanses the tissues of toxins and environmental pollution and the foods that you eat that have toxic chemicals in them, like pesticides and herbicides and plastic residues and all of that kind of stuff that we breathe and drink and the drugs we take. And all of this stuff gets into our bodies and delivered to the cells by the bloodstream. And the cells are basically bathing in a fluid. That's the medium that exchanges nutrients and waste products. And much of this fluid oozes out of the capillaries under pressure and nourishes this tissue spaces where the cells are. And then the cells give off their waste products and so forth. And this fluid then enters, much of it enters the lymphatic system. And that drains it with these passive drain, one-way valve, tiny microscopic vessels that develop in the tissues, which are the lymphatic vessels. And they converge slowly and go towards the armpits. For the breast, which is the lymph nodes. The lymph nodes are filters for this lymph that look for signs of infection or cancer or any of those problems, and then it would mount an immune response. And you'd feel your lymph node swell as it makes white blood cells that then fight whatever it detected in the fluid from the tissue. So for the breast, as I said, most of it drains to the armpit lymph nodes. And if you impair that drainage by compressing these lymphatic vessels, it'll prevent this flow because it's sort of a passive drainage system. It's very weak. It's very easily constricted. And lymph fluid is like blister fluid. That's the fluid in your tissues. And so when you get swollen ankles or any types of swellings, it's lymph backing up. And if you wear a tight band around your chest, which is what the bra effectively is, it interferes with this drainage and effectively causes what's lymphedema, which is a lymphatic accumulation, it's congestion of fluid because it can't properly escape. And over time, it's mild. I mean, you could do it really intensely and you'll feel it. You can even cut off the blood with a very tight tourniquet and then you'd know it. You'd have pain real fast. Mm-hmm. But this, we're talking about mild constriction that's chronic every day for hours every day. And it's the evidence of it is the red marks and indentations caused by the bra, and the fluid builds up, and that's why women get tenderness in their breasts before their period. It's because their breasts swell with fluid because of estrogen peaking before the menstrual flow, and that makes their breasts bigger, but they're wearing the same size bra, so their breasts have more pain. The pain goes away when their breasts get smaller again after the congestion caused by the estrogen, and they have their period. So they go through this cycle of breast size change, but they're wearing the same size bra, so their pain cycles too. And then eventually it forms cysts, which are filled with this fluid as it collects in the tissue spaces over time. And many women get needle aspirations of these cysts. They'll stick a needle into the cyst every few months. They'll have to go to a doctor for this. And the doctor will suck out the fluid, and they don't know what's causing it. They say, we don't know. Sometimes they'll say even wear a snug bra to keep you, like keeping the pressure, like a pressure bandage on the breast, not realizing this is what's causing it in the first place. And when women stop wearing the bra, their pain and cysts go away. That's what's kept this issue so alive and growing since we came out with it in 1995, because women can test it on themselves and feel the difference really quickly. And it changes
their lives. Let me just stop you, Sydney, and ask you. So you're saying that women that go braless do not have the premenstrual syndrome or symptoms of the pertaining to the breast that yes. People who wear bras do?
Yes, that's what I'm saying. Okay. And in fact, the breast cancer link, I mean, now I'm not saying this is the only answer to breast disease. There's a lot to breast disease.
Sure. I mean, there's lifestyle, there's fats on the diet and smoking and all the other,
sure,
other risk factors, right?
Yes, but everything you do, you should know that there's new studies coming out showing that lymph stasis causes cancer. Lymph stasis means stasis is like stagnation.
Mm-hmm.
So stagnant lymph, which is even caused by surgical scars, anytime they cut inside the body, they damage lymphatic channels, mm-hmm. and that's been shown to increase cancer development. Because effectively, if you block the lymphatics, you're blocking immunity. It's your immune system. If you impair it, you can't flush out these toxins. Your body can't get the when you have a tumor forming, and cancer cells develop all the time, as you know, and we fight them all the time.
Right.
And the way we know to fight them is these tumors put out tumor markers in fluid that in the lymph fluid that then get sensed by the lymph nodes, which then will mount a response. And if you impair that the communication between the tissue where these tumors can cells, these cancer cells are developing, if you impair that communication in any way, so the lymph nodes can't detect it, they can't fight it. So what happens is we're impairing our immunity by tight clothing and constricting, causing lymph stasis and ultimately cancer. And it's like cutting off this part of the body and letting it get toxic and polluted and not being able to clean up the mess. And you do that every day for 12, 18, many women, 24 hours a day. They never take their bras off from puberty until they're dead. They'll take it off maybe to shower, and they put it back on. And those women have 100 times higher rate of breast cancer than a bra-free woman. And in fact, bra-free women have the same, very close to the rate of breast cancer as men. Men get breast cancer, but at 1/100th the rate of women. And bra-free women have the same rate as men. So there'll still be genetic causes. Genetics accounts for maybe 5% of breast cancer cases. But about 70% of the causes of breast cancer, medicine currently says we don't know the cause. We believe this is it.
All right.
And there's now also this further research that's come out recently that confirms the bra and breast cancer link around the world. There's about 30 studies now that are showing bras cause breast cancer.
All right. Can you hold that thought, Cindy? We need to take a break
for
about an hour, Station ID. And when we come back, I want to have you finish that thought, as well as asking you what the position of the American Cancer Society is when it comes to bras and breast cancer. My guests, Sydney Ross Singer and Soma Grismeyer, the authors of Dress to Kill, the second edition updated, the link between breast cancer and bras. We'll be back with more information for your good health right after this as Dr. Health continues.
When it comes to probiotics, why do employees, managers, and owners of health stores recommend and personally take Theralac more than any other brand? Results. Fast results. In fact, Theralac is the fastest-acting medicinal-strength probiotic. With patented stomach acid-resistant delivery, prebiotic stimulation, and guaranteed potency, Theralac restores regularity fast while providing all the long-term benefits of a superior probiotic supplement. Don't be fooled by probiotic products that promise higher potencies or more strains of beneficial bacteria. High potency means nothing without delivery, and more strains are not necessarily better. Theralac is optimally formulated for results. Theralac, the high-potency probiotic with guaranteed strength, delivery, and stimulation, supporting your digestion, regularity, and immunity. Theralac, available in the refrigerated section of your favorite health store. For more information, go to Theralac.com.
With all the news about side effects of prescription and OTC anti-inflammatories, just launched is Xanthosin, a very potent yet safe anti-inflammatory supplement for health and longevity. Xanthosin is the result of decades of research on the natural compound astaxanthin, proved to support inflammatory health without the side effects. And Xanthosin is a pure and highly absorbed form of astaxanthin, endorsed by doctors and healthcare professionals for superior health and anti-aging benefits, backed by 1,500 peer-reviewed papers and over 50 human trials. It's also potent. In fact, just 2 capsules of Xanthosin with a meal equals 6 capsules of other astaxanthin products. So enhance your supplement regimen today by adding Xanthosin to support your inflammatory health and longevity. You can find physician-endorsed Xanthosin at all GNC locations in Hawaii and the mainland, or order it online at xanthosin.com.
Curcumin-rich Theracurmin from Natural Factors is a special form of curcumin, the yellow pigment of turmeric that has shown many wondrous health benefits. Theracurmin represents a major scientific breakthrough. Clinical studies show that when it comes to absorption, Theracurmin is by far number one. Finally, the powerful health benefits of curcumin can be realized with curcumin-rich Theracurmin. To learn more, visit naturalfactors.com.
His name is Mr. Snow.
Oh, that would be me. Hey, 9 out of 10 doctors recommend Dr. Health Radio to their patients who listen to talk radio. Ask your doctor if Dr. Health is right for you. Welcome back to the program. If you're just joining us, our guests are Sydney Ross Singer and Soma Grismeyer, and they are the authors of Dress to Kill, The Link Between Breast Cancer and Bras. And before the break, Sydney, let's get back to talking about the lymphatic system, because I think it's so important that we do this, and I'm very grateful that you really highlighted the lymphatic system, which is an often overlooked the circulatory pathway of the body and of our immune system, even by medical practitioners. And the fact is that lymph, you know, unlike the heart and circulatory system, the heart is the pump for the circulation and the blood. Well, the lymph has no pump. It has no heart. So the only two things that really will circulate it through the body or help assist in that regard is massage and movement or exercise. And that's why exercise is so important, isn't it?
Yes, and deep breathing also.
And deep breathing, yeah.
Deep breathing, it's a passive process, and actually exercising increases lymphatic flow like 20-fold.
That's right.
But, you know, which raises an interesting question. If you're a woman and you want to exercise and get the benefit of lymphatic drainage, should you wear a bra?
A sports bra, right? Sports bras.
Well, no. Actually, sports bras are pretty tight, and they do deprive you of the benefits. There was a study done on women athletes, and they found that these women preferred, after getting used to it, they preferred exercising without bras. They ran better, they moved better, they breathed better. I mean, if you have a band, I mean, just think about it. As men, maybe we can even be more objective. If you have a band around your chest, it's going to interfere with your movement and your breathing. And when you think about why does a woman need a bra, there isn't a medical reason.
It's cultural, right?
Medical reason.
Isn't it cultural?
Totally. Completely. It's like a corset. The corset, in fact, for hundreds of years, women wore corsets. Actually, men and children did too. And a woman would say, oh, I can't go out without my corset. You know, it was taboo to do that. And they were even advertising corsets and girdles, which the corset became broken down into the bra and the girdle. And for a long time, health reformers were trying to get rid of the corset because they saw how it was constricting and harming women. And, you know, would deform your bones and the pressure. I mean, our bodies need circulation. And the whole key to health, in my opinion, is circulation, because we have the ability to detox with our kidneys and liver. We have the ability to, pump. As long as we can pump the fluids through our body, we can flush it out.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why people can live in the cities where it's polluted and eat non-organic food, and they still seem to make it into their, 80s or 90s or something. The body's got amazing recuperative abilities. As long as we don't tie its hands and its immune system and literally tying it up with constrictive garments.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, the lymphatics are critical. And they were understood in the 30s. They understood lymph stasis caused cancer. And now that was forgotten for years. And now they're rediscovering it. In fact, it's in dermatology. The dermatologists are discovering this, not the breast cancer people. The breast cancer people, and that was your follow-up next question.
American Cancer Society, right.
Well, okay. This is the thing. When you're dealing with a culture-caused disease like this, you have to challenge big cultural interests. And just as a wild guess, how many bras do you think are sold every day in the United States alone?
I have no idea. A million.
1 million.
Really?
One million
I just guessed.
Day.
Okay. 1 million a day.
Yes, a day. So you're dealing with a very powerful industry. They make billions. Not only that, they're connected to the fashion industry, to the whole culture of breast obsession and implants and everything about the way we treat breasts as fashion accessories. That's all tied together in a cultural a bias. And, a similar bias existed with smoking. In the 20s and 30s and 40s, everybody was smoking. Everybody. And in the 50s, doctors were selling Camel cigarettes.
Oh, sure.
Go to YouTube and You can see the ads. They're so funny. With a doctor sitting back in his white lab coat smoking a Camel, saying, you know, when I want to relax, you know, I take a Camel. And more doctors prefer Camel cigarettes. Okay, it took 30 years for the tobacco lung cancer link to be accepted by the U.S. Attorney General from the time it was first discovered, like with a study like ours. And then it took 30 years and 7,000 studies before it was acknowledged. Okay, so given that, keep that in mind. I contacted the American Cancer Society and spoke to David Sampson, who's their head of media communications. So he's the guy who decides what they're going to say publicly. I mean, at least it's his office.
Right.
And he told me that he's been fighting me for 20 years. He's like the Joker to my Batman. And for 20 years, he's been trying to suppress this brown breast cancer issue as best they can. And I asked him why. And his bottom line was basically this. It's really hard for them to deal with this subject because they know they're going to get the kind of flack that I've been getting for the last 25 years dealing with this subject. You're fighting huge industries. They're not interested in that. And the bar, he said, is going to be very, very high. In fact, they got flack for just raising the recommended rate date for age for mammograms from 40 to 45. When they did that, they had all hell broke loose. I mean,
from who? What vested interest would that be?
The mammogram industry.
Oh, okay.
Mammography
right.
is yeah. big, big bucks. They mm-hmm. want women to get mammograms. And in fact, I've had, that's a story of some of the things that I've talked to radiologists who agreed with me, but they told me that, you know, they're afraid if women realize it could be their bra, they're just not going to want to come for mammograms. And mammograms are what medicine offers.
The gold standard of detection, yeah.
Well, yeah, in the absence of knowing the cause, you try to treat it as early as possible. Mm-hmm. And so they're accepting their ignorance, which is fine because then you come to them for treatment. So it sort of works for them in a way. Prevention doesn't make any money if for medicine if it's a non-medical procedure like not smoking or get rid of your bra or don't wear tight bras.
Well, less than 5%, or less than 5 cents of every healthcare dollar goes to prevention. So that's the perfect illustration of that, yeah.
And there's two reasons for that. One is there's a huge detection and treatment industry. That's where the money is. And secondly, right. it challenges the industry that's creating that problem, which is going to come out with lawsuits and whatever to stop you. In fact, when my book first came out in 1995, my publisher was threatened with a lawsuit by the Intimate Apparel Council. He even writes about it in the new edition of Dress to Kill. They lied about my background. They did whatever they could to try to stop him from publishing. And no lawsuit materialized, but since then, since the very beginning, they were adversarial. I mean, when we notified people about our study that we did between 1991 and 93, which we describe in Dress to Kill, we were ignored completely. That's why we did a book to come out to get to the public, because women needed to know so they can make an informed choice. You know, you can wear a bra less hours and make sure it's not tight. And mm-hmm. and there are bras now, actually, and this is the most optimistic news. There are now numerous bras that have come out deliberately, specifically because of our research. They even mention us in their patents that because of this link, because bras are constrictive and can interfere with the lymphatics and increase cancer rates, as described in Dress to Kill by Singer and Grissmeyer and so forth, they made these bras that they think are safer for the lymphatics. They've moved away from underwires. And now, if you look, the sales of underwires and push-up bras have plummeted. And bralettes, which are like just breast covers that are totally non-constrictive, have skyrocketed in popularity. And sports bras are really tight, though. They're designed to like immobilize the breast, which is the very opposite of what you want with lymphatic flow. You want movement. And if you imagine a woman walking naturally, her breasts, which are in the front of her body and bounce as she moves, you know, mm-hmm. that's flushing. That's actually a pumping for the lymphatics, and that makes them healthy. So women, when they exercise, should choose an exercise that's appropriate for their bodies. Like if they're very large-breasted, don't play tennis or do running where your breasts need to be immobilized, right. unless you're really into that sport, in which case you can wear a bra for an hour, like a man will wear a jock strap. I used to, when we were kids, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I'm 60 now, but, you know, they used to promote jock straps when I was a kid, and you take it off afterwards. You don't wear it all the time. Well, if you're going to do that with a sports bra for a very physical activity, then you can try that. But then take it off afterwards and realize you don't need that. There is no flaw in the woman's anatomy that requires a 20th century lingerie device to like lift and prop up. The whole reshaping of the breast is a purely cultural phenomenon, and it's what's harming women. And we think this explains the 70% of breast cancers that the medical industry says we can't figure out. And they're looking at everything but bras.
Okay, Sydney, on that point, I got to stop you. We need one last break of the hour to keep the lights on here for Dick Allgaier's health report. And when we come back, we'll have more information on how you can, we help you to lift, firm, and separate the facts from the fiction when it comes to the link between breast cancer and bras. My guest, Sydney Rossinger and Soma Grismeyer. When we come back, I want to ask Soma about if large breasts are more prone to cancer and also sagging breasts. You know, everybody has the image in their minds, if you're old enough to remember the National Geographic magazines, African women with pendulous breasts, where they show them down to their waist. Well, what about that? Well, you know, how am I going to stop wearing bras if, I don't want my breasts to sag when I'm older? So what about that? We'll talk about that with someone when we return from this brief break. But stay tuned now for this week's health report from veteran TV news reporter Dick Allgaier.
We've long known that processed sugar is bad for kids, yet new data presented this month at the American Society for Nutrition's annual meeting show American infants are consuming excessive amounts of added sugar. The study conducted by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention found toddlers 12 to 18 months consumed 5.5 teaspoons of sugar per day, toddlers 19 to 23 months consuming over 7 teaspoons per day. Loneliness may double a person's risk of dying from cardiovascular disease. Danish researchers found loneliness was linked to a doubled mortality risk in women and nearly doubled in men. The study also revealed that people who felt lonely were 3 times as likely to report symptoms of anxiety and depression. This was true for both men and women. The study presented at the European Society of Cardiology's annual nursing conference. Just 14% of the U.S. population smoked cigarettes, according to a U.S. government report, which said American smoking rate has reached the lowest level ever recorded. That's great news. A half a century, more than 40% of adults smoked in the United States. We're getting smart about that. Smoking is really bad for you. It smells bad, it's stupid, it stinks, and it's very unhealthy. I'm Dick Allgaier. That's this week's Health Report.
Do you own a dog or a cat? Then you need to know that Noni, Hawaii's most popular medicinal herb for people, can also be used for pets. In fact, thousands of pet owners give their animals Hawaiian Noni fruit leather regularly for energy, pain relief, digestion, and for their skin and coat textures. And for external use, pet owners rave about Hawaiian Health Ohana's lavender Noni lotion for wounds and infections, hot spots from fleas and ticks, and muscle and ligament strains. For more serious applications, there's the Instant Noni Aloe Bio Bandage, a natural salve with ingredients that form a protective healing barrier for maximum results. Natural healing for your pet, made from 100% pure organic noni. Ask for the Noni Fruit Leather, Lavender Noni Lotion, or Noni Bio Bandage for pets at your nearest pet shop or health products retailer. And visit real-noni.com.
More information equals less medication here on your health information show, Dr. Health Radio. David Snow on your radio. Thanks so much for being with us. And if you missed any part of the show or just want to get a double dose of good health information, our show does rebroadcast at 9 p.m. on the station you're listening to right now. All right, continuing our conversation with the authors of Dress to Kill, The Link Between Breast Cancer and Bras, Sydney Rossinger and Soma Grismeyer. Soma, let's revert the microphone to you and ask you about is this a myth? A lot of people, both women and men, think that large breasts are more prone to breast cancer. Is that true? What's the evidence there?
Actually, studies have shown that there's really very, very slight, if any, difference. Doesn't matter how large your breasts are, you're just as inclined to get breast cancer as a small-breasted woman as a large-breasted woman.
Now, what about the fact that if you're a large-breasted woman, you have to wear a bra for support? I mean, there's no two ways about it.
Well, that's a myth. actually, There's been also studies that show that bras cause the breasts to lose their tone, because it's like wearing a sling on your arm constantly. You lose your muscle tone and you get weakened. Well, a bra does the same to breasts. And women who get rid of their bras, we've had so many women reporting back to us, they say their breasts have to actually lift and tone when they get rid of the bra.
Mm-hmm.
It's suddenly you've got to support yourself and you do it. And I'm a large-breasted woman. I'm not huge, but I'm large. And my experience was when I first got rid of my bra, when I was worried about my lump in my breast, which ultimately went away when I got rid of my bra, I was very uncomfortable for a week or two. I mean, after wearing a bra for 30 days every day of my life, of course, it's going to feel very strange. And I was very self-conscious, worried that everyone was going to notice that my breasts weren't the shape they should be or exactly where they should be on my chest. I mean, women are really, it's amazing how we've been brainwashed and conditioned to feel uncomfortable about our breasts unless they're shaped and positioned just the way they should be. It's really sad.
Well, and I like the fact that your book has tips on just what you're talking about. You know, like, for instance, when selecting a blouse, choose one with a thicker, less clingy material, or choose darker colors rather than lighter colors, and, you know, avoid extremely lower high necklines.
There are ways of dealing with this issue in many ways. I mean, if you want to wear a bra, just make sure you wear it as little as possible and that it doesn't leave marks in your skin. If you see any red marks or indentations, you know you're wearing it too tightly.
Okay, let's talk about... Oh, I'm sorry, go ahead. Finish that thought.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, I was going to ask you about sagging breasts. I prefaced our conversation before the break about a lot of people, if you're old enough to remember the old National Geographic magazine covers where they show the African women nursing their babies and their pendulous breasts are down to their waist. What about sagging breasts? People think that if I don't wear a bra, when I get old, my breasts will sag.
Well, when they do wear a bra, their breasts are going to sag without the bra. But that's an interesting story about the National Geographic. In some cultures in Africa, some tribes, they actually hung weights from their breasts to stretch them out.
Are you serious? Wow.
Seriously. And just like some of them wore rings around their neck to stretch out their necks. You know, I mean, they do strange things in some of these tribes. Also, they have numerous children, 10 or more, and they nurse them for 3 to 5 years each. Things like that. It's different. It's different in Africa. And very few women here will get pendulous breasts like that without a bra, unless they're nursing babies and stretching them out in various ways.
Right.
Normally,
go ahead.
Your breasts aren't going to be perky like a 16-year-old, but they're not, you know, they're not going to hang down to your navel either. I mean, and even if they do, if they're healthy, that's what counts.
That reminds me of
important than fashion.
No, absolutely, and it reminds me of a quote by. Do you remember the stripper and entertainer back in the 20s, Gypsy Rose Lee? She was she was a writer as well. Anyway, she one of my favorite quotes from her. She says, "I have everything I had 20 years ago. Only now it's lower." gravity has a way of affecting both women and men, I might add. But that's probably another program. Now, since you mentioned perky breasts, let's talk about breast implants. So what is your research uncovered there with bras and breast cancer and breast implants?
Well, breast implants are sort of a bra, but on the inside. It's going to put pressure on your lymphatics because there's extra material
really?
In there.
Really? Okay.
So they probably aren't the healthiest thing in the world.
Aside from the silicone, you mean? Aside from the what they're filled
from the
with?
Silicone.
Yeah, okay.
Exactly. And once you start on that path, you're going into every 10 years or so having to go back for repositioning, another surgery. It's not a happy thing. Most women I've talked to that have had implants have gone and had them removed after 15 years or so. They just couldn't deal with it anymore. So they're not happy with them.
Oh, wow.
Natural breasts are beautiful. I mean, we have different faces, we have different bodies, and we have different breasts. And women should feel proud of who they are naturally and not have to artificially shape their breasts to be acceptable. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's absurd. We've been doing it for so long and we feel like it's so normal that it's hard to stop. And I had a difficult time stopping, and I'm sure most other women who have worn bras for so many years would have a difficult time. But after a week or two, it becomes much easier, and you can dress accordingly to not emphasize your breast. I wear blouses that like have pockets in the front, so you have a double layer over your nipples and they don't show. There are various ways of doing it, or just wearing a looser bra or a bralette or a camisole or a t-shirt. Men wear t-shirts. Why can't we? You know, there are lots of ways of dealing with it, but just don't wear anything tight.
Now, what about you mentioned about wearing, you know, putting something in your bra. What about I just learned that a lot of women put cell phones in their bras. What about that?
That's the worst.
Yeah.
That's absolutely the worst.
So,
yeah, I've seen that too, and yeah. We try to warn women about that.
Okay,
that's
all right.
The worst thing to do.
Okay, you know, just have a minute or two left, so let's go ahead. Jump in, Sydney.
Okay. I just wanted to say it's interesting hearing both of you talking about this with, you know, the whole issue of how the breasts look, the aesthetic issue, which is purely cultural, is what's really driving all of this. And for we trying to help women get past this bra, because the bra it's a harm to their health and to be informed about this. But, you know, we can't really take on the burden of trying to change the culture's view of women and why women have to look a certain way. And, you know, Soma wrote an article not long ago called My Me Too Moment with My Bra, and how, you know, being forced to wear a bra when you don't want to and you're uncomfortable at work and things like that, that's a form of sexual harassment when women feel that they can't be in public without a bra, and yet they want to be without a bra. They don't want the tight constriction anymore. Mm-hmm. And it drives them crazy. So we're dealing with a real big social issue, and that's why this issue, 25 years after we've been working on this, that's why it's taking off, but it hasn't exploded. Like, this should be headlines everywhere. And we've had media around the world, and, you know, there's been a lot about this over these years. But it never gets to that breakthrough moment because medicine has been reluctant to want to step into the fray at this mm-hmm. point.
Okay, and you know, burning your bras, that was popular in the 1960s for us old hippies. Well, I wasn't a hippie, but I was in that era, and you were too. You said you're 60 years old, and the baby boomers of our generation, that was a big thing back then, was to burn your bra, right? And women's liberation.
Well, it's coming up. Yeah, well, that was for political reasons, but it's happening again, and for similar reasons. Actually, there's the Free the Nipple movement and Top mm-hmm. Freedom movements. Women are asking, why is it that a man can have a sweaty, you know, bare breast in public with his nipples showing, but we women can't do that at all? We can't even nurse in public in some places. Mm-hmm. You know, it's even when you show a picture in a magazine of a bra-free woman, they'll have to, like, bar out the nipples. You know, it's like this nipple phobia. It's a very strange thing that we have as a culture. But because we're in it, we become oblivious to the obvious, and we can't see our own biases, and we think bras are normal.
Can't see the forest for the trees. Yeah, just like smoking. Yeah, that was your first analogy, which was a good one. Yeah, now, unfortunately, we're out of time. But, oh, and I might add that, you know, it's a stereotype in Hollywood that, excuse me, it's a kind of a, excuse me, a prerequisite to being an actress or living in Hollywood that you have to have breast implants or you know, breast augmentation.
Right,
and it's still, I believe it's still the most common plastic surgery procedure is breast augmentation, if I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm. But anyway, so how can people get your book, Dress to Kill?
Well, it's available everywhere, but I think people can also go to my website, brasandbreastcancer.org.
Okay, brasandbreastcancer.org. Okay.
Yes, and on there they can read a lot more about this. They can also join our international bra-free study, where we're getting women. Women are going bra-free to show that this cohort of women will have the best, we expect them to have the lowest breast cancer rates around. And so it's free, and they could see all that on that website at brasandbreastcancer.org.
All right, and of course your book is, I'm assuming, available at Amazon.com or in the bookstores?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, okay.
Yes, they should be.
Dress to Kill, the Link Between Breast Cancer and Bras. Sydney Rossinger, Soma Grismeyer, thank you so much to both of you for being there and doing what you do and all the research you've done.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you so much.
Thanks so much, and thank you so much for listening today. Join us again next week, same time, same station, for another edition of the program. Until then, I'm David Snow, reminding you that it isn't how long you live, it's how you live long. Aloha. Have a healthy week.
3-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.